the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu.
We have to stop the coup.
Diane Blair among hundreds in Boston demonstrating against the Trump government efficiency effort being spearheaded by billionaire Elon Musk. Bonnie Jin organized the event.
This is an absolutely unprecedented march of over 100 different organizations across a plethora of different issues, whether that's climate justice, fighting the criminal legal system, immigrants' rights, workers' rights, coming together.
More court action on the numerous lawsuits against the administration. Federal Judge Amy Berman Jackson in Washington, D.C. issued a temporary restraining order blocking the mass firings of staffers at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Another D.C. judge, Tanya Chutkan, did not rule Friday on the lawsuit from 14 states seeking to stop the government efficiency effort. She wants the states to narrow down the request by Saturday, tomorrow, and will rule sometime after that. This is ABC News. The recall of 10,000 boxes of pancake mix has to do with what's in the boxes and not on the label.
Because they contain milk not declared on the label, which could pose a risk of potentially dangerous allergic reactions, Quaker Oats is recalling 2-pound boxes of Pearl Milling Company original pancake and waffle mix. It's sold in stores in 11 states, most in the Midwest and South. The boxes affected were on sale as early as last November. No allergic reactions have been reported, says the company.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. Sioux Falls, South Dakota's Delbridge Museum of Natural History closed 18 months ago. Concerns about arsenic exposure from all the taxidermy animals on display. It was feared the 152 preserved crocodiles, monkeys, tigers, zebras, and dozens more, some dating to the 40s, would have to be thrown out. But after a search, the city council this week unanimously approved donating the mounts to several institutions, including Atlanta's Oddities Museum. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
This statement is not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When it comes to my lifestyle and diet, I don't always make the smartest choices.
Touchdown! Woo! Hey, how about another round and some more chips?
But when it comes to taking care of my liver, I do make one very smart choice. Active Liver Tablets from New Nordic. I used to have real issues with my liver, and at my last checkup, my doc was concerned about my numbers. But since adding a once-a-day active liver tablet, my gut's better, I feel great, and my doctor's happy. I ask a lot of my liver, so the least I can do to say thanks is a daily dose of active liver.
You ask a lot of your liver, so give it the support it needs with active liver. You can find active liver at Amazon.com, or for a volume discount, visit NewNordicUSA.com. Go to New, NordicUSA.com, Amazon, or ask for active liver at your local CVS. New year, new you, New Nordic.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Marquette looking for back-to-back wins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Marquette on the road at Villanova a week from tonight. Marquette fell to 18th after losing three in a row. Head coach Shaka Smart on hoping his guys can get another win next Friday night.
We've been through a tough stretch the last few games. You know, we have a lot of pride in this program, so we don't take kindly to losing, and we have a sense of urgency to grow and improve.
In the Big Ten, Wisconsin battles the Purdue Boilermakers tomorrow at noon in West Lafayette. NBA All-Star Weekend in San Francisco, Damian Lillard is there competing in the three-point tournament tomorrow night and the All-Star Game Sunday evening. Baseball, Freddie Peralta named the Brewers starting pitcher for opening day in New York against the Yankees.
Keep doing what we've been doing. Everything starts here now. In spring training, pitchers and catchers, everything starts here, like, you know, making everybody feel comfortable and just wait for the position players and pull all that together and get ready for the season.
That's the Brewers ace, Freddie Peralta, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In Sometimes True Love Isn't Enough News, it appears Kanye West and his soulmate, Bianca Censori, are headed for divorce. The couple has been married a little over 2 years, which isn't too shabby by Hollywood standards. Yahoo Entertainment says things went from bad to worse after the Grammys stunt, where West instructed the love of his life to drop her coat and, quote, make a scene. Censori will receive a one-time payment of $5 million as a settlement. That's some serious scratch and should be enough to get her some new threads. Game of Thrones fans, there is another spinoff from the wildly popular HBO show headed your way. This is the third spinoff from GOT and will focus on the House of Targaryen. Another GOT spinoff, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, will hit the little screen later this year. According to Deadline, the franchise is more likely than not going to roll out several other spinoffs in the coming years. And why wouldn't they? We'll keep watching. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, some snow, a low around 19 degrees, an inch or two possible. Another inch or two possible on Saturday with a high near 29. Saturday night, snow tapers off, cloudy skies, a low of 15. More snow possible on Sunday with a strong northwest wind.
It's 21 right now.
Let's rock some local music this weekend on Max Inc. Join us as we welcome Kaylin Cole and Lexi Liu, plus Yanni and Rocker will stop in for a visit. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday evenings at 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, everybody. TGIF. Goodness, we made it again. If you're joining us, folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got a special pre-recorded, but very fresh, very brand new segment that we are now calling Ask Maggie. You can find it here across the Civic Media Talk Radio Network at 3 p.m. every Friday afternoon. It's a way to talk about politics without talking about politics, and maybe not to talk about politics at all, depending on what the questions are, which is kind of the point. And if you've been listening to my show for basically more than 5 minutes, you know that one of my failings is that I can go on a bit about things. I can get myself riled up into quite the lather. And so part of the trick here is that I am limited to either 30 or 60 seconds to answer your questions. If you have questions, you can email them to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. Really, they can be questions about any gosh darn thing you want. What I've done, stupid things I've done, experiences, I've worked in all kinds of different roles. It can be political questions. It can be deep philosophical questions. Who is your favorite philosopher would be a really not deep, but yet philosophical question. Anything you want, ask Maggie at civicmedia.us. Each week, I'm joined by my producer running the board, as well as my senior producer and friend, Jamie Martinson. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Sam, who's running the board today. I can't wait to do this with all of you. And legit, folks, on a week-over-week basis, I have no idea what I'm being asked. So, yeah, there's a spontaneity element here as well. So, Jamie, I'm going to hand it over to you and Sam to, you know, probably get me to say some embarrassing things. It's Friday afternoon.
So how are you with being spontaneous, though? Is this something that's true to your nature, or are you very much a gotta plan it out? Because, I mean, I work with you on a daily basis. I know how the show goes itself. But, on you know, just when you're at home, you're chilling, are you normally spontaneous, or do you like to have a good plan?
So the answer, you'd be shocked. You should probably put me on a timer for this, Jamie and Sam, because the answer is complicated. As a lawyer and as a trial lawyer, you are like preparation and a plan is drilled into you. But the very nature of being a stand on your feet trial lawyer is that stuff is going to happen in that courtroom that you do not anticipate.
Sure.
Right. Witnesses are going to say things that you didn't think they were going to say. And so the key is to be prepared so that you can be spontaneous. That's generally been my approach for the show.
Right.
But this is all in my professional sphere. In my personal realm, I have basically two modes. And there are only two modes. And the two mode is on and off. And if I am in off mood, there will be no spontaneity. I will be holding the couch down to the best of my benefit with my Kindle and my dog curled up in a fetal like ball, not wanting to engage with the outside world at all. But if I am in on mode and somebody's like, let's go to Great America and ride some roller coasters this Saturday. I will go. So I can be very spontaneous or you're not getting anything from me.
I love that you just have bravery to go on a roller coaster. Let me tell you, the merry-go-round, whoo, gets to be a little too crazy for me. So,
okay, Jamie, we're doing this then. We're going to Great America this summer. It's happening.
Okay. So should we start with a question? Because I feel like we got to get you into this. And we've got some really good questions.
Start with an easy question.
Then let's do this. We've got Dale, who actually texted in from the La Crosse area. 30 seconds for this, Sam. Are you ready, Maggie? When you're sitting at AmFam in the middle of a Brewers game, are you a hot dog or are you a brat person, and what are your toppings?
Oh, I love this question. I love this question. First of all, Dale from the La Crosse area, I am D, all of the above. Give me a hot dog. Give me a brat. There is a guy with the best sausage stand in the stadium at around section 210. He's got a flat top grill. He puts the kraut on there and the onions. So I love a pile of kraut on both hot dog and brat. I love a pile of sauteed onions on both hot dog and brat. And then on my hot dog, I prefer a little relish.
Finish.
I'm going to finish. A little relish, little German brown mustard, little ketchup on my brat. I also like a little brown mustard and ketchup. And Dale, I'm going to tell you that's just round one of the eating festivus that is a Brewer game for this gal. I will eventually then later get to the helmet nachos because I'm not going to AmFam Field without a gosh darn helmet of nachos, preferably split, but I have no shame. I'll polish that puppy off all by myself.
Well, I think that's the way you do it. Now, I learned that there's ice cream at AmFam, right? I grew up in South Dakota.
Not just ice cream. There's custard.
I know. I grew up in South Dakota. We don't have any professional sports teams. So when I got here and I was like, the Packers and the Brewers and the Bucks, right? This is like triple anomaly stuff at this point. And I was like, and I can watch baseball and have some custard? I mean, who are these people? Then I realized I'm in Wisconsin where everything's about dairy. It is.
We call it a dairy forward household. You want your cheese, your creams, your full fat milks, full fat lattes, custards. Yes.
Yes.
And if I'm getting custard at AmFam, I know you didn't ask this, Dale. I like the custard that is the vanilla chocolate twist, which is sacrilege to some custard purists, but I like it. It's like having my cake and eating it too. I don't have to choose.
Even Sam is nodding in here with me today.
Yes, my brother.
You got to do the twist. Got to do the twist.
All right, we got an easy one under my belt.
All right, so I started off pretty easy. I didn't realize it was going to get that complicated, but of course I get it. I get it when we're talking toppings, right? Yeah. All right, so this one's going to be a little trickier, all right?
Okay.
So this comes to us from, Scott in Madison, and he wants to know, and this is going to be a 60-seconder, how much is it going to cost the federal government to reissue everyone new Social Security numbers and all the back-end databases that need to be fixed because of Elon Musk and his minions? 60 seconds, Maggie.
I'm going to expand your question a little bit, Scott, because what you're really asking me is what is the cost to unscrew up what is getting screwed up, right? And, I thought they were all about efficiency and effectiveness. The reality here is that the vast majority of people that work for the federal government do jobs that literally do not have any political or partisan bend to them at all. These are people that are executing technical job functions. 16% of federal employees work in healthcare. So what is it that Elon's cutting and dismantling? These are, again, people that aren't doing partisan policy work. They're just executing job functions. So I think the big picture question here is, once he breaks it, how big is the bill that comes to American taxpayers to try to fix what he's breaking? And I think it's going to probably end up being a generationally large expense. And think of it this way. He's purporting to save taxpayer dollars. I want to know, what the net savings is. You know, in 10 years, was there one single penny of savings after you break it and we have to rebuild it? Because, you know, getting health care to veterans isn't something you can just burn to the ground without there being impact. So I think on a net basis, it's going to cost us quite a bit of money to fix what Elon has broke. Did I just blow past my 60 seconds?
It's okay. It was no, you blew way past it. But we had way to let past. You get the thought out because like way past. But that's okay. It was a good answer. We had to get it.
It's an important topic.
It is.
It is an important topic.
It is.
If you can, Sam, can you turn the music up just a little bit in my headphones? Because then I can maybe hopefully try to wrap things up on my timer designated limit.
Do we have time for another question?
We do. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's do one more. And this is going to be another 60. Are we good on time if we do 60? All right. Looking at Sam for our cues here. So this is an email from a listener in Wausau. Didn't sign their name. Remember, ask Maggie at civicmedia.us if you want to get your questions in. This listener says, I'm already hearing Trump voters say, I didn't think he actually meant what he was saying. How do we break through that spell that he's cast on so many people, Maggie? 60 seconds to answer.
Oh, my gosh. Can I just say pass? What about phone a friend? Listener who asked this very, very important question. If someone knew the answer to that perfectly and accurately, we would have solved the moment's political problem. Because my genuine good faith belief is that nobody thought when they voted for Donald Trump that he was literally just going to hand the keys of the government over to Elon Musk, create a billionaire overlord, and say, well, to hell with the consequences. Nobody expected that. Yep, we expected some suggestions. I thought they were actually going to do a good faith audit. Maybe start with the Department of Defense, which has the biggest budget line item in the federal government. I don't know, not USAID that has a paltry 10,000 employees. Okay, I've digressed. How do we get people to realize it? I think we got to talk about how it's affecting them and their families, especially in the ways that might not be totally obvious. But I think some of these negative impacts are going to become clearer and clearer with each passing day. I almost made it on the buzzer.
That was very good. Very, very nice. Look at how excited she is that she almost made it to the buzzer.
Listen, I was always trying to get an A in school. I'll admit it. I'm trying to get done.
Were you an overachiever in school? I have to ask this. Were you like a total overachiever?
Are you actually asking me that question?
Well, I think I know the answer. I just want our listeners to know the answer.
What do you think?
I'm going to say it was a resounding yes. And the only reason I know this is because there's a kindredship between you and I, because I was the exact same way. Exact same way. Competed with myself. Didn't really care what anybody else was doing. But if I brought home a B, oh, it was game on next time.
So this is a really interesting topic, and maybe I can give people a little flavor of I've done a lot of mentoring and counseling for people at all levels of their education attainment. And I have advice for people when it comes to this, because trying to figure out how to really do the best that you can is less intuitive than it seems. So if you don't mind me ceding a question to me, I might give all of our listeners just a little tidbit of this when we come back. I know we got to take care of a little bit of business coming up here, because I think that's really critical. Folks, my name's Maggie Dawn. You're hearing from my senior producer, Jamie. We got Sam on the board today for today's episode of Ask Maggie. You can find it here in the 3 o'clock hour every Friday. We're going to take care of a little business. We'll be right back with more questions for me and that pesky timer right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created? More than 80 years ago. It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Could tell me to just put a cork in it sometimes.
Do you have a burning question for me? Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If your answer was yes to either one or both of those questions, then this segment is for you. We do it every Friday at 3 p.m. with my partner in the show, my senior producer, Jamie, and each and every one of you. We take questions that you submit either via text, phone, or most preferably ask Maggie at civicmedia.us. That's an email. Ask Maggie at civicmedia.us. Jamie gives me the question that she selects. I have no idea what I'm going to get asked, and I usually get 30 seconds or 60 seconds to answer it before the buzzer sounds the end of my answering time period. Often Jamie's kind enough to give me a small bit of grace if I might be putting down some somewhat logical sounding response. And if not, she just cuts me off. I got Sam with me on the board. I've got all of you joining us for today's episode, specially pre-recorded for your Friday afternoon holiday weekend listening enjoyment. Jamie, I promised everybody before the break that I would talk to people about some of the advice that I give folks that is more targeted to people in graduate programs. Sure.
And in undergraduate.
I should take some notes because I think this applies to me yet.
Because I was always like try maximally hard at everything all the time. Mm-hmm. And as I entered into increasingly difficult academic programs and also just degree programs, I went to a liberal arts university. They required, coursework across a whole gamut of things, not all of which I was good at. And what I figured out, I had a scholarship with a GPA that I had to maintain. And in law school, generally speaking, everybody isn't good at every sort of area of the law. And you could spend legitimately an infinite amount of time, all 24 hours every day, studying and trying to prepare for these things. So as I approached my studies, I had to get very, very strategic about how I approached my studies. And big surprise, I was always destined to be an economist. I thought about two things. What is really effective to get the output or to maximize my output? And what is the most efficient way to do that? Now, I got pretty literal about this when I was an undergrad, given all the other activities I was in. I was involved in our residence hall, our RA groups. I was in a bunch of leadership group. I was in an academic fraternity. I was in a social sorority, a business fraternity. I played rugby, which was an all-season sport. I was doing a whole bunch of stuff. So my approach was I would look at my class list for each semester and basically, to the best of my ability, predict what grade I was going to get in the class. Mm-hmm. And adjust my level of effort accordingly. Because yes. This girl was never ace in chemistry. Like, that's not happening, right? So I'm not going to give A-level effort in a class that I can only maybe get a C-plus in, right? Sure. So that was an approach. And I used that similarly in law school. There were students that I met that just felt crushed because they couldn't seem to break a certain grade level. And I said, well, if that is your consistent experience, are you actually studying because you think you're going to get an A? Do you need to put in A-level studying to get your C?
Sure.
Or are you going to, can you still get your C with less effort and pick up that degree and go work on your next thing, right? And that sort of effort outcome adjustment, I think, can be very helpful for people. Now, that takes some self-awareness, some situational awareness, which is also challenging. So it's also teaching a little bit of a soft set of skills there as well. Sorry, long answer to a question about, did I try hard in school? Yes, I was a classic tryharder.
Oh, see, math was my thing. And we've talked about this. I had to take consumer math, if you don't know, very quick. It's literally like trying to, you know, grocery shop without going over a budget, I was a communications and English major. It was easy stuff. So we went to a grocery store. They gave us $20. I forgot that there was tax included. I went over. I failed. Tells you everything you need to know. Like,
I was literal about it. I thought the tax was baked into the cake.
About
there's
tax.
Lots of double entendre there. So, Jamie, you bring up a really important point. One of my personal passions, something that I talk about with groups all the time, is basic financial literacy and why this is not taught and a mandated part of every state's Department of Public Instruction mandated coursework across all levels. Like, you can start this in grade school, middle school, teach it in high school, reaffirm it in college classes. We have a consumer credit emergency in the United States because people don't know how to manage this. Oh, and by the way, of course, Donald Trump is dismantling the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau because they've only saved consumers like $12 billion. So let's shut that down.
No big deal. No big deal. Who wants their money protected and saved? We don't need to worry about that.
Yes,
silly stuff. Silly us for thinking that's a thing. Should we get to some listener questions?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Pontificated far long enough.
All right. Yes. I've got a really good one, and you're going to love this. Let's give her 60 because I'm a dog mom. This comes from another dog mom. I know how dog moms can be. So this comes to us from Liz, who listens in Sauk County. She chooses a station on the app on a daily basis. She says that she's always loved your show, and she loves it even more since last week when Senator Ratcliffe joined you for our new segment called Broad Appeal, and you were talking about wieners, and specifically in this case, we're talking about wiener dogs. Liz is also a weenie dog mom. She has Lulu, who is 8 years old, and she wants to know how you and Finny found one another. She also says to keep fighting the good fight, Maggie Dawn, and remember, weenie mamas united forever. So, 60 seconds, tell us how you met your Finny.
First of all, thank you so much, Liz, from Sauk County, and my big love and big sloppy kisses to Lulu, because one thing weenie dogs love is they love some kisses. Okay, so I had always wanted a dog. I have always loved hunting dogs. I grew up with hunting dogs, but I live in downtown Milwaukee, which means it is not fair to the dog, who is big, huge, and needs to be run for miles every day, to live in a two-bed, two-bath, like, small condo on Milwaukee's east side, because I can't get them out enough. So I had thought about small dogs, but I'm not into the Munch-faced. I love those that love the Munch-faced dogs, all for it. Love the Chihuahuas, but not my jam. A best friend of mine showed me and introduced me to her mini wiener dog, and I fell in love. And so I reached out to the breeder that they got their amazing pup from. I got skipped in the line. Accidentally, there was this huge long line because of COVID. Everybody wanted a ween. Breeders screwed it up. So I truly believe that my little Finny dog was like God intended, the stork intended for me to have little Finny. And she is, her full name is Josephine Margot, but I call her Finny. And she is an 11 and a half pound little ball of wonder. She smells like pancakes all the time. And I'm sorry I went over, but I love my little dog.
I knew you would.
And I love you, Lulu. And my little one is just about 2.5. We're going to have to leave it there for today's episode of Ask Maggie. You're going to want to keep it locked because I got your favorite Friday segment. I know it's mine coming up next. We got Civic Media's very own Terry Barr for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu.
We have to stop the coup.
Diane Blair among hundreds in Boston demonstrating against the Trump government efficiency effort being spearheaded by billionaire Elon Musk. Bonnie Jin organized the event.
This is an absolutely unprecedented march of over 100 different organizations across a plethora of different issues, whether that's climate justice, fighting the criminal legal system, immigrants' rights, workers' rights, coming together.
More court action on the numerous lawsuits against the administration. Federal Judge Amy Berman Jackson in Washington, D.C. issued a temporary restraining order blocking the mass firings of staffers at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Another D.C. judge, Tanya Chutkan, did not rule Friday on the lawsuit from 14 states seeking to stop the government efficiency effort. She wants the states to narrow down the request by Saturday, tomorrow, and will rule sometime after that. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Marquette looking for back-to-back wins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Marquette on the road at Villanova a week from tonight. Marquette fell to 18th after losing three in a row. Head coach Shaka Smart on hoping his guys can get another win next Friday night.
We've been through a tough stretch the last few games. You know, we have a lot of pride in this program, so we don't take kindly to losing, and we have a sense of urgency to grow and improve.
In the Big Ten, Wisconsin battles the Purdue Boilermakers tomorrow at noon in West Lafayette. NBA All-Star Weekend in San Francisco. Damian Lillard is there competing in the three-point tournament tomorrow night and the All-Star Game Sunday evening. Baseball, Freddy Peralta named the Brewers starting pitcher for opening day in New York against the Yankees.
Keep doing what we've been doing. Everything starts here now. In spring training, pitchers and catcher, everything starts here, like, you know, making everybody feel comfortable and just wait for the position players and pull all that together and get ready for the season.
That's the Brewers ace, Freddy Peralta, with sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Welcome to the era of the mini reality show. Reese Witherspoon, producer behind the new Legally Blonde prequel, Elle, filmed herself calling the actress who won the role of young Elle Woods. The series will be set during Woods' high school years, way before she became a lawyer. Witherspoon posted the vid to her TikTok, which also included recording the actress giving her mother the news. Here's hoping the actual series that will drop on Prime eventually will be just as entertaining. Oh yeah, the actress playing Elle will be newcomer Lexi Mindtree. Immensely popular stand-up comedian Nate Bargatze has not one, but two films in the works. Nate will star in the holiday film Christmas in Paradise after he completes playing the lead in The Breadwinner, a comedy he will also produce. Christmas in Paradise has Bargatze playing a small-town doctor who ends up getting a bounty on his head a week before Christmas. The project is still in the development stages and will be directed by tag director Jeff Tomczyk. It will be interesting to see if Bargatze's films are as funny as his act. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, some snow, a low around 19 degrees, an inch or two possible. Another inch or two possible on Saturday with a high near 29. Saturday night, snow tapers off, cloudy skies, a low of 15. More snow possible on Sunday with a strong northwest wind.
It's 21 right now.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
This week on The Rational Revolution, our dear friend Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner brings Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about January 6th.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Sunny. Yesterday my life was filled with rain. Sunny. You smiled at me and really eased the pain. Now the dark days are done.
I don't know what you all think, but she is definitely the sunny to my rain, helping make every Friday afternoon a bit better for every single one of us, including you. Her name's Terry Barr, my colleague here at Civic Media. She's here every Friday at 3:30 for what's good local and overlooked in Wisconsin. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Terry. It's always so great to see and hear from you.
Absolutely, Maggie. Same to you. Happy Friday to you and all of the listeners. Maybe for another week.
That is always an accomplishment these days. So what good thing do you have for us this afternoon to start, Terry?
I am starting with the film Green and Gold. And I know I always love to ask you, have you heard about this film?
I haven't yet, which is mortifying to me. So I will put it on my weekend list of to-dos.
You really should. It's all shot in gorgeous Door County, Wisconsin. Now, it's the story of a farmer who is about to go bankrupt. So he bets the farm on the Packers to win the Super Bowl. I love this story so much. So very Wisconsin. But it almost didn't happen here. And it was close to being moved to South Dakota. Can you imagine?
No,
it's all about Wisconsin and it's being shot in South Dakota. Luckily, those behind it said, no, we cannot have that happen. We're going to stay in Wisconsin. But the problem is incentives in other states to film are huge. And it can be a big reason they choose to go to another state
than
Wisconsin. I did talk with one of the screenwriters. His name is Michael Graff. And here's what he told me about it.
So few opportunities to tell Wisconsin-centered stories. Part of the fact the state of Wisconsin doesn't have film incentives, so it really discourages filmmakers from working in the state. And I just think this is it's a great opportunity to share what makes Wisconsin special and unique and cool and a great place to live. And I just hope that it connects with folks, not just in the state, but around the rest of the country. So, you know, we know what makes, you know, what makes living in Wisconsin great. But I think sometimes we need to share it with other folks, too.
Mm-hmm. And we saw this a week ago. This is now the second week. It's in the big theaters, yay. And it is airing all across the country. The ratings for it on Rotten Tomatoes are stellar. So it's an independent film. Yeah, independent films need that kind of rating. So if they are getting the 5 Rotten Tomatoes, it will stay in the theater for a little bit longer. That really is a key to staying on the big screen. And Maggie, the movie is beautiful. It really is.
So, Terry, this is so perfectly timed, I have to tell you, because guess where I am going this weekend to have the 3-day long vacation weekend? I am going up to Door County. I do this every winter season with a bunch of friends. We rent one of those houses that we probably couldn't afford in high season. And we sit and have the like 2 nanoseconds of freezing your patootie off getting from like the house to the hot tub.
Oh, wonderful.
There's a lot of storytelling. Oh, yay. The fish I caught was this big type of storytelling. And this year I'm super excited. My little buddy, my really good friend, Dom Salvia, is coming with me with his amazing wife. We're going to have such a great time. I love going up to the door, even if also during the winter time, I cross country skied up in the Door Peninsula when I was a kid. We would do a big family outing up there. Yep, because you could always count on the snow. I absolutely love it. It has been such a big part of my Wisconsin upbringing and life stories. My favorite story, and probably a very funny Maggie moment from when I was in Door County as a college student, was going with my BFF, Annie, up to the Door Peninsula. Her family was fortunate enough to have a boat that actually had a couple sleeping berths.
Oh, wow.
Right? That they would keep up in the Door. I think they docked it in like Fish Creek or Sister, but you know, one of the many bayside hamlets up the peninsula. And her parents were also there that weekend. They gave us ladies the run of the boat, which was very generous. And we got to see John and Mary a few times while we were up there. Well, of course, John and Mary knew full well that we would overindulge, as young, stupid adults are wont to do on Saturday night. So John sneaks onto his boat, of course, his boat, at like first breaking daylight on Sunday morning with Annie and I. Conked out. I'll just say conked out in the sleeping berths. And guess what John cranks up across the stereo system on this boat? Jimi Hendrix playing the national anthem at Woodstock on like max volume. Okay.
Oh, he got you.
He did. But this is how cool John is. I love him and I have loved him so much. He was like a second dad. John and Mary both were to me. He cranks up the Jimi Hendrix, of course. This rockets us into a wee bit of a difficult morning. But, of course, John was already in the kitchen in, what is it called on a boat? There's a word for the I don't know what it's called.
It's like galley, but I don't
think the galley. Yes, I'll call it the, it's like bathrooms are the head. I never understand. Anyways, John, of course, went right into the galley, brought over Bloody Mary fixins and fried cheese curds. Because John was the man. I miss him dearly. He's no longer with us, but those are some of the memories that he helped make along with his family for me in Door County. Because the best boat in the whole world is your friend's boat.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, those suckers are money pits.
Why have one you have to worry about when you can have your friend's boat and get all that service that... he obviously took good care of you. So that's
he did, as well as, you know, giving us a hard time, which is your best friend's parents, right? Always, right? Okay, what else you got for us, Terry?
Well, and I want to mention to you, too, if you drive on Main Street in Sturgeon Bay, they shut that down for the film. And their tractors are driving down Main Street in the film. And it's really fun to see some of the buildings and some of the people that you may recognize. So just watch for that or think about that if you do go into Sturgeon Bay.
Can we get the film like pay-per-view or anything? Like,
not yet.
Okay. I'm going to keep my eyes up. Maybe we'll end up going to a drive-through up there with our little group this weekend and see if we can see it, because that would be really cool to then drive through Main Street in Sturgeon Bay, right? I mean, we're there.
Absolutely.
Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no. It kind of ties into what we've been talking about with regards to like film incentives and arts. Create Wisconsin is a statewide organization, and they are trying, everybody involved in it is trying to change things for the better for arts all across Wisconsin. Did you know this, Maggie? Our state is ranked 49th in the U.S. for funding for arts and creatives.
You had shared the statistic with me specifically before in this fabulous segment, Terry. Yeah. I also know because I grew up in theater and I played the violin and was in the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra and have a lot of friends that are still creatives and artists. And they bemoan this fact about the state of Wisconsin quite frequently.
Yes. And on the list, not only helping all the creatives, but is trying to get those film incentives to get more filmmakers
made here.
The group right now has a letter to our lawmakers asking for more consideration in the budget. And I just want to encourage people, if you want to learn more about this, what this group in particular is trying to do, you can sign the letter too, if you are so inclined. You can read it. Just learn more. Because the arts are so important, as Maggie mentioned, and I absolutely agree. Go to the website, createwisconsin.org.
I love it when you give me homework, Terry. As yes. As Jamie and I were talking about in the last segment, I was a try harder, try my best all the time. So I will be completing my homework assignment as soon as I get off the air with you. And I will be signing up on createwisconsin.org. As we always do here on the Maggie Dawn Show, that website we will put in our show notes. You can find every single one of my past episodes, including today's segment with Terry, which I love dearly, when you go to civicmedia.us/shows. We'll have the website included there. You can also find all of my past episodes on Apple Pods and Spotify, wherever you like to get your podcast for. And it's always free. Likewise, you can go ahead and get the Civic Media app to listen to our show wherever you may be, not just in this great state of Wisconsin or the Door County Peninsula, though those are always good places to be. Yet the arts funding, I mean... Given that our neighbor state, Minnesota, is one of, I think, like the top five for arts funding.
Absolutely. Illinois and Minnesota. Mm-hmm.
That is just an embarrassment. Dear Wisconsin, since when do we allow us to be bested by Illinois when it comes to supporting Wisconsin industries? I mean, that is ridiculous. Illinois and Minnesota are kicking our butts. We should just try to do better because... we're just not going to take that lion down. I mean, that is truly pathetic. 49th. I mean, in addition to all of my beef with Robin Voss, I'm going to put this in clearly my top five beef with Robin Voss. Who likes Robin Voss? Republicans don't even like Robin Voss. Maybe we could at least get together.
Does he like himself?
Terry, we could do a whole hour show on what does Robin Voss really think about himself? Since he took all those PPP loans, I don't know. It's like, is he a little bit like Darth Vader-y? Just a coal black heart lump of coal type of thing going on, like has no soul? I kind of get that feeling from him every once in a while. We're certainly going to be able to tell as the governor's budget presentation is what now, like, 3 days away. It's happening next week. So we will hear the Republican. Yep. We will hear the Republican response to the governor's budget proposals. I'll be interested. Hey, Robin, what are you doing about child care in Wisconsin? Mm-hmm. What are you doing about Trump defunding Head Start? What are you doing to help make sure each and every one of our kids has an equal shot at success? You want to talk about meritocracy? It starts in public education, and that means not defunding public education, which has been the GOP endeavor for the last 20 years in Wisconsin. They finally do something about it and are super quick to pat themselves on the back. All they're doing is harm reduction, not helping. I mean, come on.
I will be curious to see where arts falls in any kind of priorities.
Well, it's interesting, of course, because the first thing that ends up on any public education budget cutting room floor, pardon the double entendre there, right, or the double metaphor, is arts education.
Yes.
And I know when I was, and I attended, I'm a very proud graduate of Rufus King High School for the College Bound on 19th and Olive in Milwaukee, and we had choir, we had theater programs, we had orchestra and band, we had a vibrant yearbook, we had a photography program, because like every kid isn't either a jock or a nerd. There needs to be a place for everyone's super skills to shine. Like that, absolutely, that is a public education environment.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Music all the way around, arts, theater.
We're still enjoying all of it too. Yeah, we're still do a hangout, Terry, where we like punch a jukebox and go back and forth, preferably in a bar that has an actual jukebox and not one of those ones where people can skip your songs with the app on the phone. I mean, that's
right.
That's great. I hate that thing. Want it back the old fashioned way, like quarters and the push buttons. I'd love to do that with you sometime, Terry.
Let's go on a look for one of those, and then we're going to have to do that.
Which will turn into like a Charlie Barron's adjacent, you know, pub/bar crawl. I love it. What if We'll take volunteers to be our designated driver for that little outing. Folks, that is my colleague in fun here at Civic Media, Terry Barr, for What's Good, Local, and Overlooked. You can find her here with me and you every Friday at 3:30 across the Civic Media Talk Network. Have a fabulous President's Day weekend, Terry, and thanks for being here with me.
I will be thinking of you in Door County. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Folks, when we come back, I'm going to give you some of my Valentine's thoughts. Who do we need to be lifting up and loving in this moment? Not just your secret Valentine. More on The Maggie Dawn Show when we come back after these brief messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Now Usinger's fresh brats are flash frozen and vacuum packed so they stay butcher shop fresh for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest, most additive-free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with our other Great Link products. Our VacPack sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Problem is all inside your head, she said to me. The answer is easy if you take it logically.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining me. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the last segment of this Friday's installment of The Maggie Dawn Show here across the Civic Media Radio Network. You got my little buddy, my friend, and yours coming up next. His name's Dom Salvi. He's got the fine program that follows mine also Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. So stick around and check that out. I wanted to spend this last segment of the day on Valentine's Day talking about really how to love and support each other in these incredibly trying times. Not the romantic sort of love, but the love that all Christians and many, many, most faiths, I would say, are called within their faith theology to extend to one another as neighbors, as fellow travelers on this here rock, because I think the message from so many these days seems to be one of judgment, of rejection, of hate, frankly, a message of division. And so today, I don't want to talk about romantic love. You can just turn on the radio and listen to all kinds of stuff, all kinds of reflections on romantic love. I want to talk about extending love to those who believe differently than you do, who think differently than you do, who live differently, who may love differently than you do, who are different from you. And fundamentally, you know, if you are a Christian, isn't that the one overriding request, not just request, directive to love one another? And isn't that what Jesus's life embodied over and over again? So even if you're not a Christian, I think this applies with some widespread authority. And again, you can look at various of the world's religions. And I think the message, again, of loving one another, of acknowledging each other's shared humanity and dignity, is a fundamental core precept. Now, in this moment, you know, last week I referenced and we listened to some of Bishop Marianne Buddy's sermon that she spoke and I think in many ways directed at President Trump. And she called on us, called on President Trump to honor these sorts of ideas, to honor human dignity, to stand up and be honest, and to be humble while doing these things. And lastly, she called upon the president to show mercy. So today, I want to acknowledge and help stand up and show love and care and concern for the dignity and the humanity of everyone in our trans community. Not just the trans community, but especially the trans community. From a broader perspective, everyone in the LGBTQIA community, but especially trans folks. So if you are not a trans person, if you aren't well-versed in the issues and challenges and advocacy in the trans community, I'd like to give you a few things to do. If you want to show love as Jesus called you to show love, rooted in love for all persons, even those that live or love differently, how are you being an ally? How are you showing up for trans folks? I've got five things for you to do to show up in love and solidarity for the LGBTQIA community, but trans folks specifically. The first is to do your personal work. It is not a trans person's job to educate you about trans issues. So please spend some time. Reach out to trans advocacy groups. Check their websites out. Do some research. Read about this. If you are a conservative, if you are a Christian, expand your source network when you do this personal work. Second, please center the voices of trans people. If you are not a trans person, this isn't about you. Please act accordingly and in humility. Third, solidarity work, allyship isn't glamorous. It's not about getting your name in a headline. It isn't about the cookies, if you will. So get over yourself. This is very much about real everyday allyship and work. So understand that it's not going to be fancy. It's not going to be performative. It's about real work. Four, address the impact of your actions and learn from your mistakes. And fifth and finally, trans folks need allies and solidarity, not saviors. This means that transgender, non-binary, and gender expansive people are not victims. Please do not treat them as such. And if you are a trans person out there, please know that I love and support you. You will always have a safe place here on this show and on this network. Please take care of yourselves. Double down on your internet security. Consider your social media presence. Assess your resources, your support groups. Take care of your personal health. Advocate for your personal health. And please, please connect with your community. Find those safe allies. Find your community, those people that love and support you, no matter what. I'm going to have to leave it there, folks. Happy Valentine's Day. Let's love one another as we've all been called to do, regardless of who we may love. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But always remember, it is better when we stand together in solidarity with our trans folks and community.
And then she kissed me, and I realized she probably was right. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. 50 ways to leave your lover. You just slip out the back, Jen. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just beat yourself free. Or you hop on the bus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free. Slip out the back, Jeff. Make a new plan, Stan. just listen to me. Hop on the bus, cuz you don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key and get yourself free.
News from the Center, WRCE. Earl Ingram.
We'll be driving to a significant moment in American history. It's a special Black history lesson featuring guest historian Professor Bob Harvey. Later in the show, we'll also welcome Reggie Jackson.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Department of Energy paused its mass firings at the National Nuclear Security Administration that keeps watch over the nation's nuclear weapons.
The Department of Energy called people back, say that this was a mistake, or at least try to reverse course, because there were real questions that this could have impacted whether the agency could continue with all of its functions. And they don't have the same level of civil service protection, so it was easier to terminate them from their positions. And this is a part of the Trump administration making good on a promise to try to shrink the size of the federal government.
ABC's Mary Alice Parks. A second federal judge, this one in Seattle, has paused President Trump's order halting federal support for gender-affirming care for trans individuals under age 19. The Justice Department formally asked a federal court to dismiss the corruption case against New York City Mayor Eric Adams, a move that was expected after at least seven career prosecutors in New York and D.C. resigned in protest. This is ABC News. The spiritual leader of the world's Roman Catholics is hospitalized.
Pope Francis.